This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
This morning I want to share around knowledge versus faith. What is the difference between the two? Having knowledge and faith, and I want to share from a very well-known portion of Scripture of in 2 Chronicles 7. Someone took my Bible. It's okay, I've got it, yeah. But can I have my Bible? Thanks. 2 Chronicles 7. It should be there at the back. There we go. When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence amongst my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer made in this place. Very well known scripture. Who of you have heard this scripture before? Some of you have. Who of you understand this scripture? Who of you believe this scripture? Who of you apply this scripture? I think that this morning I want to share around this concept of knowledge versus faith. What is the difference? This weekend I was with some of us at Angus It's Time Prayer in the Cape Flats in Cape Town. It's quite amazing to be there again with just so many Christians coming together because of this verse. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and heal their land. So there was more than, probably 100,000 people. I was also at Bloom last year. It was also quite amazing to have a million people coming together for the same reason. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their ways, then I will hear from heaven and heal their land. And God responded, and we have a change in our nation. We have a change that many thought was impossible. We saw the change happen. It's amazing how true God's word is if only we were to believe and humble ourselves and actually pray. And so it was amazing for me to come together again in Cape Town. There was 100,000 people, mostly from Cape Town. I didn't expect there'll be a million people like in Bloemfontein, because the purpose of the prayer meeting was more of a local concern. It was a prayer for rain. I mean, people came together to pray for rain. 100,000 people is still a lot of people. I mean, the average size of a soccer stadium is about 25,000 people. You know, so when Newlands is fully booked, I mean, how many people can Newlands take? What? About 45,000. You know, so this is like, you know, this is a big crowd, 100,000 people. It's still a big crowd. So it was amazing to be together with you know, almost 100,000 people praying. Why did so many people come? Well, the reason why 100,000 people came together in Mitchell's Plain was either because they believed in prayer, or they were really desperate for water. I mean, it's one of the two. They either believed in prayer, or they were really desperate for water. Why did not many people come from Gauteng? Well, they have water there. Why did not many people come from Hermanus? We're probably not so desperate for water either. We still have water. It's probably because we're not so desperate for water, or it is that we do not really believe the scripture. I hope it's not the second one. Or maybe Some did not come because they had other things, plans, or other commitments and constraints that prevented them from going. But it does not necessarily mean that they thought it would make no difference if we went to pray or not. I hope that was not the case. We here in Amanus are not so desperate for water. Yet when I came back, a mother called me very concerned about the route that we're going to take back into town because of the violence that is taking place in Hermanus, which we haven't ever had before. Streets are blocked off, tires are burning, people are stoned in their cars, ripped out of their cars, people are thrown with petrol bombs, some of the estates been attacked with petrol bombs. And Deline is here. She can tell you the story. There's a lot of things happening in our community that we're not used to. Maybe we should also become desperate and come together and pray. I mean, we're either going to believe this scripture that says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear and heal their land. Or we should come together because we're really desperate. I hope we'll come together because we really believe this. And not just know the scripture. Because if we really believe, as I was coming back home and I was thinking about Sunday and what I should preach, and I was just asking God as I was praying at the event, it's this thing that kept on coming up in my heart as we were there among those who were praying, and as I came back and I heard the report and I was thinking about this. It's just, if we really believe the scripture, if we really believe that if we who are called God's people will humble ourselves, if we really believe this, if we really believe if we humble ourselves and we pray and we seek His face and we turn from our wicked ways, then He will hear us and heal our land. If we really believe this, will we not pray more? Why must we wait until it becomes desperate? Who of us has heard this scripture before? Who of us understand this scripture? Who of us believe this scripture? Who of us apply this scripture? For me, it's the four steps to life in the Word. It's four simple steps to the life that's in the Word. You have to hear the Word, you have to understand the Word, you have to believe it, and then you have to apply it. This is the four simple steps for me to have the life that's in the Word. This Word is life. It's life. And to have the life that's within it, there's four simple steps to obtain this life, to reap this life, to appropriate this life, to see this life manifest in me. Is I first need to hear it, then I need to understand it, then I need to believe it, and then I need to apply it. And those four simple steps lead to this life manifesting in my life. I've walked this journey so many times and I've discovered the truth in it. It's four simple steps. And what I mean by life, I mean that what the Word promises. That what the Word promises. If you read this Word, there are so much promises contained in this Word. There's so much hope. There's so much life. And life for me is when this, what is promised in here, manifests in my life. When it actually becomes real. This is what I mean. How do I get this promises that's in here real in my life? How do I make this manifest and accomplish its purpose in my life? It's these four steps. I need to hear it. I need to understand it. I need to believe it. And then I need to apply it. And amazingly, if you hear, understand, believe, and apply, it starts to manifest. But if you miss one of those steps, it doesn't work. It doesn't seem to work. That what the Word promises, the fulfillment of that Word in me, it's the life that I'm after. Isaiah 55, we know this scripture so well. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return void, but it shall accomplish what I please.
it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. You see, this is life. When the word accomplishes its purpose in me, it produces life. When it accomplishes its purpose, and that scripture that we started off with, if my people, the promise of that is, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. For this to accomplish, this is life. I will hear them, I will forgive them, and I will heal them. This is the life that promise, that scripture promises. So if we hear it, we understand it, and we believe it, and we apply it, this is what will happen. Is this not what we want for our nation? For our nation to be healed. Is this not what we want for our town? Our town to be healed. Is this not what we want for our families? Is this not what we want for ourselves? To be healed, to be whole. This is just one of the promises God puts out there for us, His people, in a nation that is broken. This nation is broken, in case you haven't noticed. It's broken. It's messed up. There's full of hate. There's full of violence. There's full of fear. There's full of uncertainty. There's lots of things going around. This nation is broken, people. That's why you lock your doors and you're afraid at night. But God gives a promise. He says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive them and heal their land. We know the scripture, but do we believe it? Jesus said, the thief does not come. In John 10 verse 10, he says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. We all want life, don't we? We want our nation to be healed, our families to be whole, this town to prosper. Jesus said here in John 6 verse 63, he says, it is the spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. You know the scripture, but you do not believe. The knowledge versus faith. The four steps to life in His Word is so obvious. You first have to hear the Word before you can believe it. I mean, that's kind of obvious. I mean, we know Romans, I don't have that there, but Romans 10 says, you know, how shall they believe in Him whom they do not know? And how shall they know if they haven't heard? The first step of life in the Word is very obvious. You need to hear the Word. You need to hear it. You can't believe it if you've never heard the Scripture. How can you believe it? So the first step is very obvious. You need to know it. That's why we will always encourage you. We will never force you, but we will encourage you until you give in. To read the Bible. Yourself. You will never believe unless you've heard it. But then you also need to understand it. You need to understand what it means. That's the parable of the sower. You know, the first seed that was sown, it fell on the wayside. You know what happened? The devil came and took it away. Jesus explained it. He said, it's the word that was heard, but it wasn't understood. If you don't understand it, the devil will take it away from you. You will never have the life that He promises. If you don't understand 2 Chronicles, if you don't understand what Jesus is saying, if you don't understand, the devil will come and take it from you. It will never produce its fruit in you unless you hear it and you understand it. So sometimes you need to pause a moment when you read and think through this. Don't just read it because you have to read this to get through the Bible in 1 year. Just Take a moment and pause to think what this means. And to ask God what it means if you do not understand it. Let it sink in. Let it become real to you. The third step, after you've heard it and you understand it, you have to believe it. You have to believe it. If you want the fruit of it, if you want its purpose to be in you, you have to believe it. That's why Jesus says, my words are spirit and truth. My words are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. That's why later on in that same chapter, when Jesus spoke to the crowds and says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, many of his disciples followed him no longer. And he turned to his 12 and said, do you also want to leave me? And Peter responded, but Lord, where shall we go? Only you have the words of eternal life. You have to believe this. And then the fourth part to have this word manifest in you, accomplish its purpose, is you have to apply it. And we've spent a lot of time on this. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you do not do what I say? Let I tell you what it is. He who hears my words and puts them into practice. It's he that digs deep a house, the foundation, builds on the rock. And when the storm comes, is not destroyed. But he who hears my words and does not put them into practice, like a man building on the sand. And when the storm comes, it destroys his house. So you have to hear it. You have to understand it. You have to believe it. But then you have to apply it. And after you follow those four simple steps, then it will accomplish its purpose in and through you. It's not the hearing of the gospel that saves you, but your response to the gospel that saves you. You don't just have to hear the gospel, understand the gospel. You have to believe in the gospel. And then you need to respond to the gospel. That's when we get saved. That's the word of God. Four simple steps. Some people think they believe, but they only have knowledge of the word. Some people think they believe because they know the scripture. Because they know the scripture so well, they think they believe it. But you see, belief influences the way I live. Knowledge does not. Just the fact that you know the scripture doesn't mean you believe it. But some people, they know it so well. They know the scripture so well. Whenever they hear it, they think they believe it. But if you believe something, it will manifest in your life. So the difference between knowledge and faith is application. Many people know the scripture that says Jesus is Lord. But they don't really believe it. You see it in their lives. That's why Jesus said, many in that day will call me Lord, Lord. And I say, I don't know you. Yeah, but didn't we do great miracles, great sermons, great healings, great wonders in your name? Jesus said, I don't know you. You who practice lawlessness. You see, there's a difference between knowledge and faith. And God in his wisdom chose that we will be saved by grace through faith, not knowledge. It starts, it's a very important step, but many Christians know verses off by heart. And when you quote it to them or when you read it, they immediately think, yes, I believe that. But you look at their lives and you see no fruit of it because they don't apply it. Do we believe in prayer or do we simply know about prayer? Do we know the scripture so well that it resonates with us, it responds to us, but we still don't believe? Because if it's true, why don't we pray more? Is it simply because we know it? When the rubber hits the road, do we apply what we know? You see, that's the difference between knowledge and faith. It's application. Let's take another example. Matthew 6, verse 25. Jesus says, therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. Who've heard that before? Matthew 6. Do not worry about your life. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. Who've heard that scripture before? Okay. Who of you still worry about your life? Okay. It's either because you do not understand it or you don't believe. It's one of the two. I'll say it again. It's either because you do not understand what Jesus was saying or you do not believe what he is saying. Because if you read Matthew 6, Jesus explains to you very, very, he goes in great detail to explain to us so that we can understand. There's only two options. If you don't apply the word in your life, it's either because you don't understand it or you don't believe it. And I wish I had time this morning to actually go through this, and maybe that's another sermon. But Jesus said it's two things. It's either a lack of understanding or a hardness of heart. That's why you don't apply. He spoke it over and over to his disciples. He said, do you still not understand? Are your hearts still hardened? He kept on hammering on these two things. Don't you understand or don't you believe? Which one of the two is it? And so too for us to this very day. This word has life. You must not just know it, you must believe it. If you truly believe it, you will apply it. But that's another sermon. I want to come back here to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and heal their land. Who really believes this? Because if we really believe this scripture, we would be praying more together. I mean, I was thinking that moment when that mother called me, quite concerned. Afterwards, I met the father, and he was quite alarmed. He says, I know you had a great time praying there, but this town is falling apart while you were gone. And I was thinking, why didn't you pray? Why are you waiting for me? It doesn't say if Andres prays. Do we know this or do we believe this? And if we really believe it, we'll not just come together more often to pray, we will continue to pray until we see the life it promises, manifest, accomplish, fulfill its purpose. This is what faith is. Faith is not knowing that scripture. Faith is praying. I'll say it again. Faith is not knowing 2 Chronicles 7. Faith is praying until our land is healed. That's the difference between the two. The one has prayer meetings that have a handful of people. The other one has prayer meetings that are full of people. It's the difference between knowledge and faith. That's why I have that little barometer there. I'm trusting God one day we're going to have 100 people out of the 300 adults come to a Tuesday morning to pray. Why? Not because we have to, but because we really believe what the word says. Now, it's either going to take two things. Must this town fall apart? I mean, must there be no more rain? Must there be destruction? Must there be pestilence? What must happen before we, God's people, humble ourselves? Now, coming to a prayer meeting is humbling. You've got to wake up early in the morning. It's inconvenience. But you know why it's humbling? You know why it's humbling? Because in essence, what it means is, God, I acknowledge I cannot save myself. I cannot save this town. And I am desperate for you. I need you. We need you, God. We need you. We are not taking this beautiful place for granted. We're not taking the peace that we have here for granted. We acknowledge if you are not here, the peace that we have today in Hermanus will be gone. If you're not here, this peace that we had up to this weekend will be gone. if you are not here, God, the water that we still have, it will be gone. So what is prayer? Prayer in essence is humbling myself and acknowledge I cannot save myself. I cannot provide for myself. Only you can. So therefore we come together humbling ourselves, acknowledging that we are not great. We are not sustaining. We are not so clever. You are. So we come together. It's humbling. And then we pray. We ask you. We make our petitions to you because we acknowledge that you can bring water. You can bring safety. You can bring peace. You can prevent the fires destroying this town like it did Naisnar. I mean, that's why we pray. Because you're a good God. But first, we need to humble ourselves. We have to believe. If we really believe the scripture, we would pray more often together. And we will continue to pray until we see the life that he promises. Luke 18, Jesus speaks here from verse 1. He says, then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. That we always ought to pray and not lose heart. Why, when everyone start any prayer initiative in my 21 years in the ministry, you always start with a nice group of people and then it dwindles. It doesn't disappoint me anymore. It's kind of, I'm used to that. It's kind of how it works. When you start anything, Bible school, encounters, you always have this great initial excitement, especially with prayer. You can do a nice, powerful sermon, a great encouragement, and people will come, but it always ends up dwindling. So Jesus tells this parable that we should not lose heart, that we always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was a certain city, a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. There was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city. And she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while. He wouldn't. He ignored her. But afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest her continual coming, she wearies me. Because she didn't stop. So lest this woman's nagging frustrate me, run me out of my mind, I'm going to give in. I have no regard for God or man, but because she continually nags me, continually knocks at my door, crying out for help, I will give in and give her justice. Not because I have regard for man or God, but simply because of her persistence, I will give in. And then Jesus explains, then the Lord said, hear what the unjudged judge says. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. And here comes the crux of the problem of a lack of endurance. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Jesus gives this parable to encourage us not to lose heart and to continually pray. And then he starts to explain what the parable is really about. It's not just about prayer. It's the root, the core issue of why we dwindle, why we cease to pray. It's because we do not believe. The heart of the issue is faith. It's not knowledge, it's faith. The sermon this morning is not about prayer. It's about faith. Do we really believe?
Or do we simply have knowledge? Do we really believe the word of God? Come, let us reason together. If we really believe God's word about prayer, if we really believe that if we, his people, humble ourselves and pray, seek his face, turn from our ways, then he will hear us, he will give us an ear. If we really believe it, will we not pray more often? If it's true that he's the one that shuts the heavens, and if he can withhold rain and he can bring rain, if it's true that we just need to humble ourselves and pray and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways, it's not necessarily sin, but all the excuses and all the other things that are more important than seeking God's face and humbling ourselves, if we turn from those things, then he will hear from heaven. He will forgive us and heal our land. I mean, if it's true, let's reason together. If we really believe this, will we not come together more often? If it's true that this violence cannot be stopped by the police or by the politicians or by all that, but really, you know, will we not come together and ask God? Or Mark 11, verse 23, Jesus said, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask in prayer, believe that you have received them, and you will have them." You see, the essence is faith. It's the reason why we pray. It's the reason why we continue to pray. It's the reason why we do not give up to pray. It's the reason why we have what we pray for, is faith. So this sermon this morning is not about prayer. It is about faith. What do you really believe? What do I really believe? If we really believe the word of God, then firstly, we will pray. If we really believe that scripture, we will pray. And we will pray more. And secondly, we will believe when we pray. Not only will we pray more because we believe it, we will believe when we pray. We will actually believe that what we ask for, he hears us. And what is according to his will, he will do for us. So first of all, if we really believe the word, we will pray more. And secondly, we will believe what we pray. And thirdly, we will continue to pray and not lose heart until we see the accomplishment of his word in and through us. So if we do believe, then let us pray and let us not give up to pray. Four action words: humble, pray, seek, and turn. So what I want us to do this morning is apply the word. So I want to ask you to do something very simple, because the gospel is very simple. The power lies in its simplicity. And I want to ask you to do something very obvious and very simple for the town that we live in. I want us to pray. I want us to pray. And I'm not just asking us to pray for our own safety and our own comfort, but I want us to pray with compassion. Not just for the white people, but for the black people. Not just for the rich, but for the poor. Not just for our own comfort, but for those who are in discomfort. I mean, we can so easily say, "Lord, deliver us from this upheaval of this violence that is taking place in the township that is causing a lot of logistical problems." But we forget the people who live in the township. I mean, it's a pain. We white people, we can't go into the township now. Not like we ever go into the township. I mean, some of us that live in the beach club, I know that's a, sorry. I mean, you have to go through the township
to get there. But for most of us, you know what? We don't even go into the township. Have any of us ever given a thought of the average black person who needs to go in and out of the township every day to go to work? I mean, we are concerned because of what this will do to our economy, what this could spill over to, how this could maybe potentially come to my neighborhood, and imagine, God forbid, they block off my road. And we forget about all the black people whose roads are already blocked off. And are we going to wait until they block off my road before we pray? And we have become so self-centered. So I want us this morning just to pray. Break up groups of 4 and 5. And we're just going to pray because we're not here just to get knowledge. We're here to be encouraged in our faith and to apply the Word of God. So I want us to break up in little groups of 5, and I want us to pray. I want us to pray for our town. And then I want us to pray for our province that are desperate for water. And then I want to pray for our nation that He will heal our land. 3 things. We're just going to pray for 3 things. We're going to pray for our minds, and we're going to ask God. We're going to ask God. We're going to humble ourselves. This is humbling. I know this is uncomfortable. I know this is uncomfortable. I know it's humiliating to pray with strangers. That's part of humbling ourselves. 4 or 5 people. Don't make the group too big, because then we'll pray too long. God forbid that we pray too long. Let's little groups 4 and 5. We're going to humble ourselves, and we're going to ask God to heal our town. We're going to ask for His peace, for His protection. And we're going to ask not just for safety, but we're going to ask for provision. We're going to ask for provision for those who lack, because the root of this violence is lack. It's poverty. It's not just as simple as a self-centered, self-seeking. It's lack. People don't have work. They don't have money. They don't have food. They are desperate. So let's pray for God. Ask Him to bless this town. Keep it safe. Give opportunity and unite our hearts with one another. We're going to pray for that. And then we're going to pray for this province. We're going to ask God for rain, because there are many that do not have water like we do. And then we're going to ask God for our nation. And I want you to pray. Remember, the average prayer recorded in the New Testament is 40.7 words long. The average prayer is 40.7 words. That means if you pray very slowly, it will take you 40 seconds. But you don't need to pray that slowly. Short prayers, 5 minutes. Okay? Are you ready? Everybody gets a chance. We pray. It doesn't need to be long for our town, for our region, and for our nation. Let's go. God, we thank You that Your word is true. We thank You that You are mindful of us, and that You are a good God, that You want to forgive us. You sent Your Son, and You want to heal our land. You gave us prayer. Lord, this morning as we humble ourselves before You,
Lord, we ask that you will forgive us for not believing you, for not making the effort to understand what it means when you say we should pray. But I thank you for opportunities like these when we can come together in your name and know where two or three are gathered together, you are with us, and whatever we agree upon, that we will have. Lord, let us have faith. Lord, help us in our unbelief. Lord, as we have started today just to humble ourselves and pray, Lord, may we not only turn our face to you, but may we seek you continually, so that you and so that we might turn from all the excuses, all the good excuses we have not to pray, not to come together with your people. Thank you, Father, that when we humble ourselves and pray and seek your face and turn from our wicked ways, then you will hear us and you will forgive us and you will heal our land. So, Lord, I pray that you will give us the faith to pray and to continue to pray until we see your promises fulfilled. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.